All right. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. I figure we probably should talk about something relating to Resurrection Sunday, right? But at the same time, I'm in the middle of the series about hearing God's voice, and so we're going to do a monster mashup of the two topics. And a monster mashup. That's when you take two things and you build a Frankenstein sermon. A Franken sermon. Franken sermon, where we're learning about hearing his voice. But so what I felt like the Lord was putting before me was this idea that we could examine the words of Jesus all relating to his path to the cross, okay? And by hearing his heart as he spoke, as he was going to the cross and as he was on the cross, you can hear his heart today, and you'll know the right voice, you'll know the wrong voice to listen to, right? All scripture is for teaching, right? And it's, right? It's suitable for teaching. So we're just going to look at the heart of Christ as in the scripture. And then what's going to happen is you'll start to recognize whether or not that voice that you feel in your heart as you spend time with him alone is the right voice or something you're just making up. And why is it critical that we not listen to that voice? Because that voice, 9 times out of 10, is going to be an accusing voice, which is not of God. Who is the accuser? Yeah. We don't want to listen to that. We want to listen to Jesus, right? Okay. Sometimes you'll hear things that lets you off the hook when the Lord is trying to like prompt you to lay something down, right? And when you give yourself, I'm not going to call that word grace because it's not grace. When you just tell yourself nonchalantly that it's not important. And the Lord is trying to put his finger on that thing and saying, I want to set you free from that. Stop running and turn it over. And you're like, oh, that wasn't God. Oh, yeah? He wants to see you free more than you ever could possibly want to see yourself free. Right? And so we learn to dismiss the voice, and we learn to fill it in with other voices at times. So we're just going to look at Jesus, and that is so important. And then he's going to make himself known to us. I am going to start in a verse, John 16, and no slide for that one, but John 16, verses 13 to 15. Jesus is speaking. He was predicting that he would be leaving soon and that he would be leaving the Holy Spirit behind for us. And so, we're going to John 16, verse 13. And so Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling me what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. They're the same. You know what I mean? And so when you're in your scriptures and you're asking for the Lord to speak to you, you're just asking for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to just reveal more of Jesus to you. You know? Yes? Yep. All right, cool. Just making sure I'm in the right church. Verse number 15, same, just keep rolling through this. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. And this is what I mean when I say the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. Jesus is saying, I know everything. God has given me the wisdom of all things because I am his and he is mine, right? And I'm going to give that to the Spirit, and the Spirit is my Spirit. It's Trinity, right? And that Holy Spirit in you is going to speak exactly what he knows, right? Thank you, God. I'm so grateful that we have a God who speaks. Amen. So here's our problem, and this is why we're going to be looking at the scripture here, is that 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 says that our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy, that's the ability to hear his voice, reveals only part of the whole picture. So even when we think we're hearing from God, and we are, let's just say, we're not getting the whole picture, right? Because his ways are so much higher than our ways, right? And his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts that he's communicating and we're getting it. But man, I mean, it's just so infinitely deep that we can't get the whole download, right? It takes a lifetime. It takes an eternity. And so that's great news because we as humans, we love to do this thing where we're like, okay, I got it. Now get out of my way. I'll take it from here, right? Because we're really smart people. We're talented and we're fast. And the Lord, he died for relationship, right? He didn't die so that he could have slaves, the Bible says, right? He doesn't just want workers who are really efficient and good at what they do. He doesn't want you to say, okay, I got the download, Lord. I'm on my way. I got it from here, right? That's like famous last words. I got it from here. That's the hold my beer of Christianity. Right? Disaster on the next step of I've got it from here, Jesus, right? We don't have it. And so we only see in part, and that's why we need to keep coming back to him, and we need to keep breaking into that place. I'm just going to refer to it as the secret place. Okay, and that's that place where it's just you and him and you're communicating and pour into your word, but stop and listen. See if he's waking that thing up and making it speak to your heart. Because he's a God who wants to be known. All right. I think you got it. That's all I'm going to say. So looking at Jesus in Luke 22, verse 66, this is Jesus as he is facing the religious council before going to the cross. Okay, so these guys want to prove why Jesus is basically blaspheming God and deserving of death. I'm going to move these because you guys can't see, can you? There, how's the view? Oh, you're welcome. Any obstructions over here? No? Crossing your way? Huh? Yeah. I'm just going to do like Rachel, hit it with my hip. All furniture. How do ladies do that? It's amazing. All furniture bows at the hips. So Luke 22, verse 66. So at daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, the religious leaders, including the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. Jesus was before this high council, and they said, tell us, are you the Messiah? But he replied, if I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. That's frustrating. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand. He wanted to make sure, verse 69, he wanted to make sure there was like no mistake. He's like, you think I've blasphemed? Let me just tell it to you straight. I will be seated next to the Father today. I mean, you can't mistake what he was getting at when he said that, you know? And they shouted, so you are claiming to be the Son of God. It's the big, aha, we got you. We finally got you. And he said, you say that I am, right? He's just so frustrated at the fact that, and this is really what I want to get to, the fact that they have an agenda, they're going to Jesus to get an answer, but they're not asking because they really want to know. They're asking because they need to manipulate toward the agenda that they have. It's a religious, pharisaical kind of approach to the Father. Huh? Sounds like politics? Yeah. All right, be careful. There's some fighting words around here. All right. Think about this now. See if there's any of this within you. This is really where I want to bring it down to. All of us have to come to terms with this little religious thing inside of each one of us, right? And sometimes when that religious thing is taking dominance in our life, we're going to the Father, asking him for guidance, asking him to speak to us, ask him a question for direction. And while we're doing it, we already know the answer we want. We already know the path we want to take. And we're just hoping that we can sort of muscle him in the direction we need him to go. Have you never done that? Am I like the only person who's ever dealt with a religious issue? Okay, yeah, you guys, I'm gonna make like an egg and crack you. You're gonna spill. You know, you are. Jesus knew that they had an agenda, right? And so every time he spoke, he already knew, look at this, they're like, 1 minute, just tell us plainly. So he goes to answer, but he's like, you know, if I do, you're not going to believe me anyway. So you ever gone to the Father and you're like praying about something and you get this impression that he answered, but it's so out there for you, you're like, there's no way. And I just hear Jesus being like, well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyways. Right? Go back to your Bible. Or how about this one? Aha, so you are saying this. You ever done that to him? I need confirmation that I'm supposed to go option A or B. You're saying B, right? God said, no, I'm telling you to trust me. So you are saying B. You are, right? All right, so I'm just looking at this because it's important, man. If we find that there's this little religious council taking session in here, it's time to just put that thing down. Yes, flip some tables. When we come to Jesus, we really need to come to him because we are sincerely asking. You have a question? Don't ever feel bad because you have a question. Just don't come to him with that created answer, right? The one I love the most, right? If God is all powerful, then he can't be all loving. And if he's all loving, he can't be all powerful. You just came to him with that whole Pharisaical approach, which is, it's either you're A or you're B, and I'm going to twist you on whichever answer you give me. Go ahead. I dare you. Answer me. He's like, well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, right? He's done with conforming to our expectations. He's the King of Kings. He rose again from the dead. I think we deserve to conform to his expectation. Right? And so he spoke the truth, and then he let that religious group turn it into something that they needed to justify themselves. And so, you know, here's just some common pathways here. Lord, I want you to speak to me. No, I will not answer that truthfully. And I'm then going to follow up with a question that shows your flaws, Lord. And then when you speak the truth, it only proves how flawed I suspected you really were, right? There's that pathway to doom. Yeah, some people are scrunching faces. That's a good thing. I want you to do that. You know, so Jesus, he modeled this place of perfect surrender for us. And the reason why he modeled that surrender is so that we could live in that same place of surrender. If you learn anything from Jesus, you learn what it is to lay yourself down and just surrender to the Father's will, right? So you go to the secret place and you begin to speak with him. And, you know, this is where the Father oftentimes will bring in what's called, like, what we'll just refer to it as a season of remodeling or maybe a season of undoing. And he's putting his finger on a part of our life that, you know, yesterday was just fine, but today all of a sudden it's not fine anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Because we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and he's taking us there slowly. And if he just took us there from A to Z in one step, it'd probably kill us, right? And so he takes us there slowly, and these days just come where he begins to undo, he begins to remodel. What does that look like? Well, you know, it talks about we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're the house of God, right? And so imagine that he's like, oh, there never was a door here before. Guess what? I'm going to create a door here. No, that's where I hang my favorite artwork. Don't touch that wall. No, it needs a door. Right? So he can make a door where there's never been a door. He can tear down a wall where maybe you've built a wall, and he doesn't want that wall in your life, right? He just wants to go down and do a work that's so deep and just clear out the clutter and clear and make a way that suits him, not you, right? He's not trying to suit you. He didn't die and raise again so that he could, you know, please you. He's coming here to transform you, right? And so this whole approach when we come to him is, what do you want to work on today? And here's the other warning, the other side of this coin. Don't try to work on something that he's not working on. Don't dig at stuff that he's not digging at, right? How many of us do that? Yeah. And then we think we've identified the place that he needs to change. It's the same thing. It's the whole Pharisaical religious spirit that says, I think I know better than you. I'm presuming to know. And he's like, I'm not touching that today. Yeah, but that's the big one. He's like, hey, you have no idea what's the big one in your life, right? You have no idea. So he undoes us in this place. It's actually like in untangling. You know, have you ever had like a bunch of string just wrapped around something? And you just have to just keep untangling and undoing. And it's a beautiful process, but sometimes it's painful, and it's okay. Because it shows us who we really are, and it shows us what we really think. And sometimes we're not prepared to see that. And these Pharisees, man, they were not prepared. In this part of the story, they were not prepared to have their world undone, only to find out that the Messiah didn't look anything like they expected him to look like. He didn't act anything like they expected him to act. And quite frankly, the more he spoke, the more he acted, the more he loved, the more he healed, he brought their kingdom down just another notch and brought his kingdom up, which was threatening. Right? And sometimes when Jesus really moves in, it's threatening. It's threatening to our comfort. It's threatening to the things we love. It's threatening to relationships that we want to hold on to. It's threatening to habits. It's threatening to our pride. It's right? And he's like, it's uncomfortable, but it's okay, right? Until we come to terms with the fact that we want to be used by him more than we want to maintain our control, we're never going to see breakthrough.
Amen. Preach, brother.
So, and when we reject him just to preserve something in our life, we're just showing with our attitude that we really don't want to know him deeply. We want to serve someone who serves us. You know? All right, can I move on before it gets too hot in here?
Yeah.
I think I brought you as close to the flame as I can. So, Luke 23. We do have a slide, right? Yes, all right. So after he went before the Pharisees, he was moved on, and they was brought before Herod, who was the king, okay? And so I'm just gonna refer to the king in this case as being, when it applies to us, the part of us that is most powerful and in control.
Sometimes.
But just so you get what I'm getting at is whenever I refer to Herod or the king, I'm really paralleling that with the most powerful part of us. And as I'm standing here looking at you guys, you know, you're very powerful people, right? You are. You know what you want, and you get it when you want to.
Stiff neck?
I didn't call you that. I said powerful. Powerful. Don't jump me. So Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus. He had not met him yet. And because he'd heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle, do you get this? He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. He's hoping to see something. He's hoping to see proof, okay? And that is the quintessential telltale of someone who is stuck dealing between what God is saying to their life and what they want to control and maintain and keep power over. It's give me some proof and then maybe I'll let you in a little bit. Right? Well, he gave proof. The proof was the cross. So question after question, Herod is just digging into him. I heard you are amazing. I heard you think you're the king. I heard, right? Well, Jesus is like not interested in proving himself for some reputation. You know what I mean? That would have been cheap. I mean, you lose respect for someone who's like, oh, you heard right, watch this. Right? Like, where's the humility in that? Right? It's cheap. It's not exciting at all. So meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations, just like the enemy. Just like the enemy. That never stops, right? The voice of the accuser, man, is still going. And we just need to learn to just shut that thing down and just ignore it. Don't let it rule over us, right? And Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put on a royal robe and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day, allied in the purpose of wanting, desiring to maintain control. Right? Yeah, but I wanted to point out something here, that when Jesus is challenging an area of our life, he really wants us to give it over to him. Sometimes we'll make alliances with unhealthy people, unhealthy habits, or unhealthy cycles, so that we can just bulldoze over what the will of the Lord is for our life. Have you ever sought out somebody when you were feeling convicted of something? Did you ever, of course you didn't do this. Do you ever know somebody who, when they were feeling convicted, they went to someone who would tell them what they wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear? Unhealthy alliances. Me and that person became really good friends that day. He patted me on the back and said I was a good old boy. It made me feel really good. Didn't make any headway, right? Then Pilate called together the leading priests and the other religious leaders, along with the people. If we could keep rolling the next slide, please. And he announced this verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. So Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I will have him flogged and then I will release him. This is that whole controlling thing, man. It's like, I can't prove anything that the Lord has spoken into my life is in any way wrong, in any way manipulative, harmful. He's innocent. I mean, he's just here for me. But I'm going to go ahead and have him flogged anyways. Going to rip that thing apart. Going to find a teacher who can dissect the Greek and roll that word, and then I can put it back on another church who was doing some weird voodoo dances, and then I can just package that up and say that was not of God. You know what I mean? Just watch out for that. Just look for that thing, and man, root it out. Just surrender it to the Holy Spirit. There are days where I will say to him, when I feel like he's really putting his finger on something, Holy Spirit, I just surrender freshly right now. Surrender fresh. I surrender fresh. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to surrender over and over and over, like, right? I mean, sometimes we think of surrender as that moment we come to him. Well, the way you come is the way you stay. You come surrendered, you live surrendered. And he speaks when we surrender. If we throw up the wall to him and we're like, you know, you speak, you dare speak, and I'm going to just like tear it apart with my intelligence, my religious spirit. Or if you're like, I'm going to control what you say and I'm going to manipulate and I'm going to ignore and I'm going to ally myself with the people who can help me hold you back. Well, you're not going to hear his voice, right? And the world will pass you by. All of heaven around you will pass you by. Amen. Let's dedicate every fiber of our being to the kingdom of God on this earth. His agenda. Amen? We have to be able to do this above our reputation, above what others think, above our own understanding. Basically, when we realize that 100% of our life is holy and set apart unto him, not just pieces. You know what I mean? We can't compartmentalize our life and refer to even, you know, certain boring parts. Well, that's not really something of God. But when I kind of come over here and I'm doing something, you know, good, well, that's of God. We can't compartmentalize. The whole thing, every part of us is holy and set apart unto him. And so when we're in our family, when we're loving on our family, when we're playing with our kids on the floor, when we're ready, whatever, it's all holy and set apart to him. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not trying to say be perfect all the time. Just be holy. Set it apart. Let it be his, right? Yeah, and when I forfeit the right to fully understand God's plan, then I elevate the desire to be used of him higher than the right to understand. Do you get it? And that's what these two groups showed me, is they represent people with demanding a right to understand before they'll move. And I want to have a heart that's so surrendered, I'll move and then I'm sure I'll understand as I do it. Amen. What's that? Yeah, if you don't understand, move. You know, it shows the kind of trust that we have in the Father, because, you know, would we ever expect him to give us a direction that would be completely to our demise? I would expect one, though, that moves toward our undoing at times. And that's a good thing. It's just not fun, but it's awesome. And it can be a ride. And you get to experience his voice in ways comforting or instructing in ways that you'd never heard before by letting him into that place. Amen. I got a whole lot here, but I'm wondering maybe I should skip some stuff. Yeah, I'm going to skip something. I'm going to go to Matthew 27, verse 50. Understand, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. I'm just going to skip it and kind of get to the end here. Because it's a little warm in here, huh?
I like it.
It is? Wow. Well, I probably just, you know, never mind. I'm hot, huh?
My nose is warm.
Is your nose warm?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, when my dog's nose was warm, I used to worry about it. It's great. All right. The problem, so these are preacher's problems. When it's warm in the building, everybody wants to fall asleep, right? Yeah. I knew someone, but I didn't know it was you, Adam. All right, so I need to step up my game. Ready? I'm going to preach the rest of this sermon balancing on a ball. Spinning two plates. All right, cool. So Matthew 27, Jesus is now on the cross, and he's dying. And he shouted out once again and released his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Just pay attention to that real quick. We'll come back to it. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead, and they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Can you imagine? Huh? It wasn't like a zombie invasion. I mean, these were like, these people were like loved ones, you know what I mean? Okay.
If they've been dead for years and now suddenly they're there, it's kind of
weird. Yeah, it might be cool though. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by this, by the earthquake and all that had happened. And they said, this man truly was the Son of God. Yeah. So let's just look at the pieces real quick. First, you know, the veil is torn open. And what does that mean? That's a clear invitation into fellowship with the Father. Clear imitation. So when the voice of God speaks, even if it's just like, brah, right? I don't understand. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm panicky, right? You're seeking God's voice. The first thing, just know this, the voice of God in your life is always an open invitation to come. We know the scriptures say, let us boldly come before the throne to obtain grace that we need in our time of trouble, right? All right, the voice of Jesus shakes the unshakable, breaks the unbreakable, kind of rhymes, moves the unmovable, just like he shook the earth and split rocks. And so as we come to him and we're like, Lord, speak into my life. I've got my word and I'm praying and I'm asking you to speak and guide me. Just know he can move immovable things and he can break unbreakable things in your life. We have to be aware of that because that's where faith meets reality, right? And who are the people who never see anything happen in their life? It's the people who don't believe he will. That's why we have faith, right? And when we come to him with faith, believing God, you have the ability to speak right into this broken thing or this rock-hard spot in my life, and you have the ability to counsel me right through this thing. and I'll go as you speak. Man, he does. He'll split things wide open. Right? Yes. His voice awakened the dead that day, right? And that to me just reminds me of the fact that he can awaken dead places in our life. And there's so many ways that we go cold. Oftentimes we go cold to dreams. And when I mean dreams, like aspirations, things that we're calling, feelings like God has given us this thing. And man, I really want that. But then disappointment of life kind of proves to us why we shouldn't reach. And so rather than letting disappointment fully have its root in us, we just kill that thing. It doesn't exist anymore. Drop our head, keep moving. Yeah, and that dream can also be relationship. As we start to feel like we're in relationship with somebody and they're starting to hurt us and we're not sure what to do with it, we just cut it off and it goes dead. It's safer that way. Every time you have a little piece of your heart handed to you, you know, there's just little corners of the heart that go dead and we don't even know they are. It's just the scar of life, right? Scar tissue in life. And just want to let you know, man, as you spend time in his presence and you're speaking with him, he will undo and wake up even those dead places. You can feel in areas of your life where you've never felt before. You can connect in areas of life where you've never been able to connect before. Right? That's part of the resurrection life working in us. That's why it's so important that we maintain this life in the secret place, because that is our hope. That's where these things happen. They don't happen just while you're doing life. Know what I mean? I try to encourage people, you know, yes, do the stuff where you're worshiping in your busyness and you're, you know, as you're driving and you've got your mind on other things. Yeah, of course, do that. Connect with him, because God does speak at all times, right? And that is a time for our secret place. But man, if we're not getting alone with him, we're really cutting off that ability for him to wake up dead places or to shake unshakable things in our life and really undo us, right? How do you know, Daryl? Show me something. Well, here you go. What if he began to undo you right in front of everybody at work? Just take you apart. Show you something that has been dead and cut off in your life. Waken up a desire. Bring you back into connection with something that was dead. You would just like, blah, right in front of everybody, right? And so God, being a gentle person, is not going to do that to you in the middle of your work job, right? Because you're not going to give him the opportunity and he's not going to take advantage of you, right? Everybody wins. You get alone with him, though. You go to a place where that's okay and it's safe for that to happen. The place of the secret place in God is a safe place. And you can pour out your heart before him and you can fall apart in him and you can let him just take layers of stuff off of you and clean you up. So for all the busy Marthas out there, sometimes you just got to sit down. Yep. All right. And then his voice that day, even though it was just a shout, it convinced the lost and the unbelieving. Here it's the centurion, right? Just one syllable coming out of Jesus' mouth, just a shout, was enough to turn this guy from unbelieving to believing, right? And here we are hoping to convince people to come to Christ. And, right, we get the perfect argument. I think we talked about that over the last couple weeks, right? The perfect argument. I'm going to argue this person into the kingdom of heaven. Right? That works just about as good as arguing someone to see your political perspective. On Facebook. It doesn't work, right? People are going to believe what they're going to believe until they don't. There is no perfect argument. Like, really, for goodness sakes. That's what makes us who we are. And so we really rely on the voice of Jesus to just speak into our life, into family. Like, any of us praying that someone in our life will come to Christ? Someone we know and love? For some of us, it's like people we don't know. We want to see them come to Christ. We want to surrender ourselves to be used to bring people to Jesus, right? So they can experience, they can taste and see the goodness that we get to enjoy and engage, right? And so we're like, Lord, I need your voice to speak into my life. I don't care if it's a shout or it's a whisper. I need you to do it, because that's the only way that you're going to convince people. They have to see the unshakable shaken in their life, and then bam, like this guy here, right? The centurion. Wow, he really was God. Right? Not, hey, by the evidence I have experienced, I conclude that my thesis was wrong. His heart was moved, right? There's so much passion in the voice of Jesus to reach the lost. And I believe that's another reason why we don't often come to him often in that way, because the voice of Jesus will move us to put ourselves out there, take risks, and try to reach the lost in ways that we might not be comfortable doing. And so in order to keep our head down and just, you know, I go, work, church, and family, right? I ain't got time for a burden for the lost, right? I don't know enough. I'm not experienced enough. What if I say something wrong? What if? And the voice of Jesus is trying out. And so we have to get alone with him in that time and let him just break our heart for the lost. Anybody says to me, I wish I just had more of a burden for the lost. I already know you're not spending time in the secret place. You might be spending time in your word, but you're not getting the voice of Jesus in your life. You're just doing the do. All right. Somebody was like, I don't like that. It's proof to me, okay? So, we good? I'm not going to keep you, because somebody's got some kind of egg-finding contest to go to. You got a ham in the oven? Cool.
Yeah, I actually program my stove, my gas stove. I'm just praying at
top. Yeah. Awesome. So you're just celebrate that Jesus made a way for Gentiles and eat that ham, right?
Amen.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we are. So ham it up. All right, prayer time. If you don't mind, we're just going to pray these things out, this last slide. And you don't have to pray just this, but this is just for guidance on basically the things we've discussed today. But number one, just see if this grabs your heart. I repent for allowing my religious arrogance and desire to be in control to sever communication with you. If you felt poked, it's time to repent, right? Turn it over. Number two, Jesus, speak love and passion through me to those who are lost. I want to be an extension of your heart. And then number three, Jesus, let your power flow through my life. I feel led to give myself to others, to break through impossible situations, to raise dead things to life, to open the way for fresh relationship with the Father. You're just saying, God, connect me to the power source. Right? Jesus is calling. I'll start it out, or matter of fact, does anybody else want to start it out? Who feels like something grabbed him and you're like, yep, I'm going to pray that one out. One body. Yeah, cool. This dude's good for one.
At least one.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask that you just forgive us, God, for turning these blinders on, putting them up in our lives where we crave the things of this earth instead of the one true thing that we really want is what we need is your love, your words to speak to us, just we ask for your forgiveness, God, and we tear down those blinders and those walls, break through your crazy love to us, create a desire in our hearts, this burning desire that we want more of and more of you. Just speak to us, God, in our quiet spots, in our quiet moments in life. We humble ourselves. We want to hear your voice, and we open our ears and we open our eyes to the many wonders of this world that you've created, not the things of man, but the things of you, God. We lift you up. We want to glorify your name every day. Every day we want to go out and just praise your name, God, and declare the mighty things you've done, the mighty things that your Son has done for us so that we can have eternal life. We just thank you, God, for that gift. Just etch it into our hearts that we can't and won't forget. We want more of you every day, and we just want you to permeate our lives. We love you, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, thanks. Who else?
Father, we just ask you to come and anoint us. Lord, we ask you to come in now, Father, and unlock the places of our heart that we've shut down and we won't let you in, Lord. But you want to come in so we can become whole, because as we become whole, then we can be used mightily by you and your Spirit. And so, Father, I just pray on this Resurrection Sunday that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, and heal the parts of our hearts and our spirits that are wounded, and open up those places in our hearts right now that we've shut down and said, you can have this, but not this part, Lord. Lord, we want to give it to you now. We want to give it to you. We want to open up that part of our heart and give it to you so that you can come in and heal and restore and make us whole in you, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to pour out a healing in all of us. Lord, we ask you to heal the wounds, those deep places. I know they're there. You can feel it. Heal them, Jesus. Help us not to be afraid, Lord, to just open up and say, here, God, here it is, Lord. We give it to you now. We lay it at your feet and just say, come in. And Lord, I just pray that those things that are the stumbling blocks, Lord, that keep us from being able to really be used by you, just move them out. Move out the stumbling blocks and make the crooked path straight to you, straight to your heart. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see those things, those places, from your eyes and from your Spirit and from your heart and from your perspective, so we can see our lives the way that you see us. So we can know we don't have to be afraid, Lord. So we can know, Lord, that we can hear that voice behind us saying, go to the right or go to the left, because that's what Isaiah says. That's what you give to us, that we could hear your voice, that sweet voice. So, Lord, we just come before you today and we say, Jesus, come. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Do a mighty work and then speak to us. And then use us, Lord, so we can go out to those people that need Jesus. So we can get out of here and break down the walls. So we can get out there and start to minister to your people, to people that need Jesus. There's so much that needs to be done. There's no time to shut down our hearts. There's no time to hold back, Lord. Nuh-uh. Lord, you make a way where there seems to be no way. You open up an entire ocean that we could cross. Lord, you are faithful, you are good, you are awesome. So, Lord, do it. Do a powerful work in us. Lord, give us a hunger for you like we've never known. Give us a hunger to want to get out there like we've never known. Lord, don't allow the enemy to come in and try to hinder us with foolishness, but lift up your hand against the enemy and keep him at bay in every part of our lives. Keep evil from us and do a mighty work. Lord, pour your anointing. Do a powerful work in this place. Lord, pour your anointing on every single person right now. Open our eyes and our hearts and our ears. Open our spirits Lord, pour out your spirit and do a powerful work right now. A powerful work, Jesus, because you're here and your spirit is here. Do a mighty work, because, Lord, we love you with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls and all of our bodies. We love you so much. And we want to fulfill, Lord, the reason why you've put us on this earth. We want to fulfill all that you want to do so much through us, that you would be glorified. So be glorified, Lord, and do a mighty work. Do a mighty work, that you and you alone would be glorified in our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you now. We bless your holy name. We praise you, Jesus. Just pour out your spirit, God. Do a mighty work. Bless it. Bless it. Blessed be your precious name.
To follow up after Karen. God, we just love you. We love that you've made yourself available to communicate with your people. God, your nearness, it drives us. It's not duty, it's not obligation, it's not guilt. Lord, it's your nearness that fuels and drives us. And I just ask for your nearness in our life, God, that you would just honor every baby step we take, that you would come running to us and raise up people with such passion and heart to know you and to serve you that none of the other stuff really matters. And they just, Lord, I'm looking for a family who's a spotless bride. And we do give you permission, Lord. We're just going to be real brave here. We give you permission to meddle in all the little things that that we want to control and keep you out of, because it's frankly too hard to face. And Lord, we're just looking for you to do the work that you do in us to really establish fruit in our lives, God. Freedom and healing and restoration, God. And I am looking forward to seeing dead places come to life as people begin to, encounter you in their time with you in the secret place, God, that you're just going to speak and bring stuff to life. I'm excited. I'm expecting testimonies, Holy Spirit, because you deserve those. We just love you, Father. Go with us as we celebrate you the rest of this day with our family, and may we live out the gospel, God, in our life, I pray this week. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. So happy Resurrection Sunday. Sunday.